News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is the show where we take more in-depth looks at things that you've heard about recently on WSJM News. We have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. And there's plenty to talk about today. Yesterday was a very busy news day. Coming up on today's program, we will learn about an arrest that has been made in Van Buren County. The sheriff's department over there has arrested what they believe is a serial arsonist. And so I chatted with the sheriff about that interesting case, about the investigation they had. We'll learn about that coming up on today's show. This arsonist, alleged arsonist, who the sheriff says has confessed, started a bunch of fires around Van Buren and even in a couple in Berrien County. We'll hear about that. Also today, we'll chat with Congressman Fred Upton to find out what's going on in Congress right now. Our congressman, I had a few minutes with him yesterday. He told me about tax reform, and also he touched on the subject of opioids. Yesterday, we heard Fred's comments on the House floor when he testified in committee, actually, about opioids, and Fred senses some action coming up here that will involve the president to fight the opioid crisis. He'll tell us about that on today's show. We'll also catch up with State Representative Kim Lasada to learn about property tax legislation that the governor has signed. He signed it a couple of weeks ago, closing a property tax loophole. And this legislation was sponsored by State Rep Lasada, as well as State Representative Dave Pagel from Berrien Springs. We'll learn about that. And finally on today's show, we'll learn about an ongoing fundraising campaign that's happening at Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve down in Buchanan. They are raising money for some improvements, and in fact, they recently broke ground on a new education center there, so we'll hear about that from Fernwood coming up on today's show. And as always, if you would like to weigh in on something we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll learn about this arson case up in Van Buren County. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. My pleasure to be here. For this segment of the show, to start off today, for this Wednesday edition of the show, I thought we'd learn about an arson investigation which recently took place in Van Buren County. They yesterday announced they've arrested a suspect in a string of arsons around the county. There's also a couple of arsons here in Berrien County. And the sheriff has told me the suspect that they arrested has already confessed. I thought this was interesting, so I caught up with Sheriff Daniel Abbott to learn more about this situation. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Sheriff Abbott, so the Van Buren County Sheriff's Department has arrested this arson suspect. Tell us how this case even came to your attention.
It was brought to my attention early to the middle of last week by a fire chief that they had been out on three fires in a matter of around 8 days, all abandoned houses. With that, I come back to the department, end up doing some further digging, and found that we actually had eight in a matter of 20 days. With different townships and local areas. With that, obviously, it's very disturbing. So Friday morning, after I got all my ducks in a row through a couple days of looking into it, trying to get viable suspects, I end up Friday morning assigning a specific deputy to work those arsons, specifically 100%. And fortunately, that afternoon, after we started our investigation, tip come into my office where a person actually wanted to meet with me and talk to me about that because they had found out that we were looking into it and they thought that they had a suspect.
Okay, so these fires were strictly in abandoned houses?
Abandoned houses and barns.
And so what about this suspect? I mean, how did you find him?
He, a person actually brought him to the station for us and we interviewed him. Two of the guys that was assigned to the case actually interviewed him, and he ended up coming clean on him.
All right, so he started a string of fires, or your office alleges he did. Did he state his motive?
I can't go into a lot of details on it because it's an open case. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's all going to come out in court.
But he has confessed?
He has confessed, yes.
All right, so this is 40-year-old Kyle Norden out of the Hartford area. He faces a variety of charges. Can you tell us more about the specific charges he's looking at here?
Yep, what the prosecutor ended up charging him with, he ended up charging him, let me get my straight here, 3 second-degree and 3 third-degree, and they put $100,000 cash surety bond on him. And if he was to post, he'd also have to have a tether, GPS tether.
All right, and the suspect is still in the Van Buren County Jail. Is this the first time that you've ever had to deal with a serial arson case like this?
We've had them before. This is the first one that I ever got directly involved in.
And you had to put together a special team that investigated this case, and it was solved pretty quickly.
They did a very good job with it. They're very thorough. We end up reaching out to Kent County. They have an arson dog. The dog come down and hit on several of the scenes, just confirm our suspicion on what was taking place.
All right, that was Van Buren County Sheriff Daniel Abbott talking a bit about this arson suspect who was arrested yesterday. There wasn't a whole lot he could say. For example, he mentioned that an accelerant was used, but he couldn't tell me what it was or the motives of the suspect who the sheriff says has confessed. This was interesting because it was solved so quickly. This individual accused of starting fires in abandoned buildings and outbuildings in the Keeler, Hartford, Bangor, and Watervliet areas starting September 29th and ending on October 20th. He's in the jail, $100,000 bond. No one was injured in any of these fires. And he's looking at 6 arson charges in total. I thought that was an interesting case they had to deal with up there. The sheriff brought in some outside expertise to help solve it. And so now we just wait for the suspect to be convicted. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Right now, we've got Congressman Fred Upton lined up. Fred is in Washington this week, of course, and there's plenty going on in the House. And so I thought I'd catch up with him. I only had a few minutes with him, but I chatted with Fred this week about what the priorities are here for the next few days. So let's hear that conversation now. All right, Fred, I know you've got plenty going on in Congress this week. The big priority is tax reform right now, correct?
Well, that's right. The president's up in the Capitol today, the vice president as well. Our big vote's going to be Thursday afternoon on whether the House accepts the Senate budget. I think that the votes will be there to do so, which then allows tax reform to pass by 50 votes rather than 60. And I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to get this thing done. It'll be a fairly large middle-class tax cut, doubling the standard deduction, reducing the rates, keeping the top rate for those that earn more than $1 million a year, reducing the corporate tax rate, as well as the small business pass-through rate. I think those will be significant in terms of creating jobs down the road here, and really removing the incentive for businesses to move operations overseas. And I think that's a big win. So at the end of the day, when this thing really starts to move, the tax process itself, I think that we'll have a House, have a vote in the House prior to Thanksgiving, probably shortly thereafter that in the Senate, and actually get it done with Democrat votes before Christmas. It'll be a big win.
Could this lead to a shortfall and cuts elsewhere in the budget?
Well, it will. It's likely to add to the deficit. We know that. But the question, the balancing act, is it not more important to get a 2 or 3% growth rate and bring a lot of these jobs from overseas back home and investment here instead of overseas? So that's the dynamic that we have. And in my view, over the long term, longer than 10 years, I think it's going to do more. It's going to more than pay for itself at the end of the day. But you know, we need this boost in our economy right now. It's even though unemployment is low, I think we all realize our economy is fragile. We've seen jobs go overseas, and this is going to take away the incentive for jobs to go.
All right. And, you know, what about those who say it's just a big tax cut for the rich and no one else?
No, well, here's the thing. We're doubling the standard deduction. We're eliminating quite a few of the loopholes that, frankly, those that itemize the rich take advantage of. We're preserving charitable mortgage and interest deductions. We're reducing all the rates except for those that earn more than $1 million. Their tax rate will stay the highest, 39.6%. Everyone else should get a tax cut. So this ought to put money in people's pockets. And at the end of the day, I'm convinced not only will most of the Republicans vote for it, but a number of Democrats as well. And I think it'll be able to get to the president's desk where he'll sign it. It'll be a good thing for the country.
All right, Fred, and I know there's some action coming in Washington regarding opioids.
I'm actually going to be meeting at the White House on Thursday on this whole opioid issue. We've got some hearings later this week in committee about the terrible impact that it has on our communities, particularly with fentanyl, which is unbelievable in terms of the number of deaths that it's caused over the last number of years. But the president is going to, we understand it, issue a clarion, a state of emergency on opioids. And I will be part of that announcement likely on Thursday afternoon before I come back to home to Michigan.
So that's a tip. There could be an opioid state of emergency announcement.
Yep, I think that's going to happen. That's the word on the street. Haven't heard it officially, but that's the understanding. But the big vote here is really, will the House accept what the Senate did on the budget, and by doing so, then allow tax cuts to pass with 50 votes rather than 60? And the way that it's designed, tax cuts and reform aimed at the middle class, removing the incentives for companies to move overseas, I think it's going to generate pretty good support and should have a solid vote when that bill itself, the tax bill, comes up on the House floor prior to Thanksgiving.
Okay, that was Congressman Fred Upton talking with us briefly about what's going on in Congress this week, and namely, it's they want to get the budget approved. If they can do that, then they can push through some tax reforms with a basic 50 vote majority. Fred thinks that's entirely possible by Thanksgiving, and he says it'll lead to economic growth that'll pay for itself. Any shortfalls that could be caused elsewhere in the budget will be fixed simply by the growth that they believe these tax reforms will bring. We'll see about that. I recall the last time we had a major tax cut, it just resulted in shortfalls for local governments and state governments, but we'll see if it works differently this time. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now we're going to take a quick break, but coming up in the next segment of the show, we will learn a little bit more about some tax, property tax loophole legislation recently signed by the governor. This was a plan from State Representative Kim Lasada, who represents us right here in the St. Joseph, Benton Harbor area, as well as State Representative Dave Pagel, who represents everyone farther south there. He's from Berry and Springs. They've passed some legislation closing a property tax loophole. We've talked about this a few different times on Our Take. It affects local school districts. The governor signed it a couple of weeks ago. We'll get the final lowdown from State Rep Kim Lasada coming up. We will also in the next segment hear about the first snow of the year to hit Michigan. The first snow of this season, I guess I should say. That has happened. You'll never believe where it happened. In the UP, that's right. And later on, we'll learn about a capital campaign underway at the Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve down in Buchanan. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. We're going to take a quick break right now. Stick around, and we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. My pleasure to be with you on this fine Wednesday. That's right. It's Wednesday, everyone's favorite day of the week. Everyone just can't wait for it to be Wednesday each week. Am I right? For this segment of the show, I thought we would get one final update, one final rundown here of this legislation that was signed a couple of weeks ago by the governor. It was on the 11th. Governor Rick Snyder signed this legislation from State Representatives Dave Pagel and Kim Lasada. It's designed to close a property tax loophole. Here's what happened. We've heard about this before on the show. There was a property tax loophole that enabled someone from out of state or someone who was just a multiple property owner to claim homestead exemptions on a property that was not, in fact, their homestead. That sort of caused schools to lose out because when you do that, it's all that tax money goes to schools. Well, State Rep Dave Pagel and Kim Lasada, they sponsored legislation that was passed pretty quickly and signed by the governor. I had one final update from State Rep Lasada about this. Let's hear what she had to say about this bill. All right, Representative Lasada, now I know that this bill had passed unanimously in the state Senate recently. It was sort of fast-tracked through, passed quickly. Now, I know this this loophole that your legislation closed was brought to your attention by the county treasurer, correct?
Brett Rutkowski actually was, very instrumental in and bringing this to our attention, Representative Pagel and myself, just the number of people that they find who live in another state but claim a similar homestead in Michigan, which we know is not legal, but there's a loophole in which they are, you know, they're discovered and, you know, it's found out that they're doing this. And so what they can do is just say, oh, I made a mistake, and then go back and make up, you know, the taxes that they were supposed to have paid. So now this will stop the loophole. They can be charged, because it's a crime now, they can be charged with a civil suit, and they're going to be fined, and they do have to then pay the amount in which they owe the state of Michigan. And that money is money that directly goes to our school. So it's fantastic.
And this plan, it moved pretty quickly. It unanimously passed the state house.
And the Senate.
And the loophole that this legislation closes, it addresses, it's a problem that affects particularly areas like ours on the lakeshore.
Oh, exactly. All up along the shoreline, west side of the state, east side of the state, even the Upper Peninsula. So, we see that, and Brett sees, or Witkowski sees it a lot. Hmm. And he just knew that we needed to do something stronger to try and prevent this from happening, because it's money that our schools aren't getting.
All right, that was State Representative Kim Lozada there telling us about this legislation the governor signed recently. It was her first bill that got signed. It closes this property tax loophole. It helps out school districts, especially in lakeshore communities. You know, a few weeks ago or a week ago or so, we talked to the county treasurer more in depth about this, about how it affects schools. And, you know, his office has had to chase down property owners from out of state who were claiming homesteads here and therefore getting out of paying taxes to local school districts. The school district in Berrien County that's most affected by this problem is New Buffalo, which makes sense. But also, it's a big problem for Benton Harbor and Berrien Springs. That was a bit of a surprise for me to learn. But the reason why is it has to do with property owners who rent out their properties claiming homestead exemptions on those parcels. Our county treasurer told me it's a big problem for Berrien Springs and Benton Harbor. It's a problem for New Buffalo. It's a problem for the River Valley School District. It's a problem all over, and it's now been closed thanks to State Rep Lozada and State Rep Dave Pagel. Newstalk 94.9 WSJM. Right now I have an update for you on the Mackinac Bridge Walk. You know this fun event they do on Labor Day each year? Thousands of people head up north to walk the five-mile span of the Mackinac Bridge. Well, they did things a little differently this year for the Mackinac Bridge Walk in that they didn't allow any traffic on the bridge while the walk was taking place. That was head off any security problems that could be created. Well, the public meeting is being held tonight so that more discussions can take place about changes to the Labor Day Mackinac Bridge Walk. That's after several hundred people were left out of last year's walk because they couldn't make it to the buses. Michigan News Network caught up with Mackinac Bridge Authority Executive Secretary Bob Sweeney to learn about this. He told them a little bit more about this meeting they're holding tonight.
We were successful in our major initiative to provide safety, but we unfortunately did leave some people at the dock.
So that's Bridge Authority Executive Secretary Bob Sweeney talking about the problems that were created. They're talking about maybe having people start from both ends of the bridge, have them walk halfway across and back to minimize the need for buses. That doesn't sound like it's as much fun. You want to walk the full 5 miles of it, don't you? Bridge Authority Executive Secretary Bob Sweeney says that and other things are proposed after these problems they had with September's walk.
That's something that we want to improve upon this year because, as you can imagine, if you're traveling from several hundred miles south of the bridge to get up to the bridge to walk it, you're going to, you really want to participate in that event.
That's Mackinac Bridge Authority Executive Secretary Bob Sweeney. Other ideas include changing the date of the walk, so it wouldn't even be on Labor Day, and also changing the bus loading areas. A lot of people missed out on the walk this year because of the ban on traffic on the bridge. And, thousands of people show up every year to the Mackinac Bridge Walk and take part. It's a big, fun Labor Day tradition in our parts in Michigan. So they're talking about changes. That meeting tonight will take place, and we may learn more coming up tomorrow. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will learn about a fundraising project, a fundraising campaign that's underway at Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve. They're trying to raise money for various improvements. I caught up with the Nature Preserve's Executive Director, Carol Lyne, to learn about this. We'll hear that conversation coming up after this break. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Time for a quick break. Stick around, and we will be right back.
Oh, yay!
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Oh, yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There is nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
911, operator 911. Where's the emergency?
127 Brimley.
Okay, what's going on there?
I'd like to order a pizza for delivery.
Ma'am, you've reached 911. This is an emergency line.
Large with half pepperoni, half mushroom.
You know you've called 911. This is an emergency line.
Do you know how long it'll be?
Okay, ma'am, is everything okay over there? Do you have an emergency or not?
Yes.
And you're unable to talk because...
Right, right.
Is there someone in the room with you? Just say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, it looks like I have an officer about a mile from your location. Are there any weapons in your house?
No.
Can you stay on the phone with me?
No. See you soon. Thank you.
It's time to say no more. Go to nomore.org. This message provided by the National Network to End Domestic Violence.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Wednesday edition of the show. We're close to wrapping up today's program. So far on today's show, we heard from the sheriff of Van Buren County to learn about some an arson arrest they made yesterday. They caught an alleged serial arsonist, and so we heard a bit more about how that investigation unfolded. We also chatted with Congressman Fred Upton about the latest things happening in Washington right now. He thinks tax reform will happen by Thanksgiving. And so Fred was telling us about that. He is also expecting a opioid state of emergency to be declared by the president sometime in the next week. That ought to be an interesting development. We'll see what that means if and when that happens. Also, we caught up with State Rep Kim Lasada about property tax legislation recently signed by the governor. And we heard about some changes that could be coming to the Mackinac Bridge Walk for next Labor Day. Right now, to wrap up today's edition of the show, I wanted to learn about something happening at Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve down in Buchanan. It's in Niles, Buchanan area. They recently held a celebration as they broke ground on a new education center, $2 million, 5,500-square-foot facility that will house some classes, workshops, et cetera, et cetera. And that's all part of a much bigger fundraising campaign called the Seed the Future Capital Campaign. They're trying to make way for long-term improvements at Fernwood. I caught up with Executive Director Carol Lyne to learn more about this. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Carol, so this month Fernwood broke ground on this new education center. Tell us more about what it's for and what it's going to be all about.
Sure. It's a 5,500-square-foot education center. We're very excited about it. It's going to allow us to expand our existing educational space, double it, and it's going to be a great, interesting design, and it's a multifunctional space so that we can host our camp kids. We can do our youth education programs with our local schools. We also can do our adult education classes from this space, our annual symposia, our classes and workshops for adults. And it also is a space where we can, when it's not being used for education, we also can bring local foundations and businesses here for retreats, as we do already.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be an expanded new space for that. And also evening receptions, you know, on occasion, or an occasional wedding reception. So it's going to be a building that we hope will satisfy a good number of our needs throughout each day.
All right, Carol, I know that you're there with Joanne Sims. She's the chair of the Seed the Future Capital Campaign, and this education center at Fernwood comes as part of that. Joanne, can you tell us more about the overall fundraising campaign that's underway?
Yes, well, the capital campaign has been not only about the building, but about we updated the master plan of the grounds. So that has, the plan has been drawn up. We will begin to implement that in part as we do this building, because the $2 million also includes, it's a around the building and access to and from it. So it isn't just the building itself for the $2 million. The campaign also includes some additional cultural programming. Now that we have doubled our classroom, we will double our classroom space. We will be able to do a little more programming that we aren't presently able to do. And then it also, we would like to increase the endowment. Mm-hmm. We do have an endowment at this point, and part of the campaign includes increasing the endowment. And lastly, but not least, would be some renovations to our present visitor center. We need to, this building is now 25 years old, and it needs a few upgrades and renovations. So that's pretty much inclusive of what it involves. This is actually, the master plan is actually a 10 to 15 year plan. So what we're doing this time is really the first phase of it. So we hope to continue that as time and money allow.
Okay, so this is the long-term future of Fernwood.
That's correct.
And you're almost there, correct, to raising your goal?
Well, we are in terms of the first phase, yes, right. We don't actually know the long-term, you know, 10 to 15-year projections, but we can guess, but we don't want to do that yet.
All right, and you've raised about $3 million for Fernwood as part of this campaign, and ground was broken this month on the Education Center. Do you have a timetable for when it will be finished?
Well, probably, certainly by next year at this time.
This time next year?
Yep.
So will you offer more programs at Fernwood as a result of the new center?
Yes, we certainly will be able to. So now we have a great nature-based program that's been in place for 50 years. But we're also wanting to enhance our environmental education, enhance our horticulture and botany programs. And art is also a piece of our history, has been from the very beginning. So, we focus on nature, we focus on gardening, and we focus on art. So all of this is going to be able to be included in the programming in our new center.
All right, I'm talking to Carol Line and Joanne Sims with Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve. They're talking about the capital campaign underway to, they're raising money for the long-term future of Fernwood. They want to add to the place's endowment. And as part of this, a small part, is the education center on which they broke ground this month. Carol, can you tell us more about sort of the physical layout of this facility? It's got some interesting components.
It has two unique wings. One is flora and one is fauna that speaks directly to the nature of our nature at Fernwood. And the fauna wing is right on the edge of a ravine, and it will have wonderful bird viewing from the windows on that wing, educational wing. It also will have views, primarily in late fall and winter, but views of our big pond and a glimpse of the St. Joe River from those windows. Each of the wings also has a library. And on the fauna wing, there is going to be a children's library. So that should be a very active place to be. And on the other wing that faces the garden, that's our flora wing. So again, great programming coming from that area as well. And a library there that will house our general collection that we already have. And Berrien Community Foundation gave us a generous grant to expand that collection. Hmm. So we're going to be adding books to both libraries, actually. And over the central core of the building, we're going to have a green roof. So that's very exciting, and it's something that we can interpret and we can educate with. And it's also a tool that will help mitigate stormwater runoff. So it's a valuable piece to our environment and also a great educational tool. We also have two courtyards off of the classroom. So when we have a large camp group, we can start in a courtyard and then go into the classroom and then come back out into the courtyard if the weather permits and have activities there. Also, if we have evening functions, we can overflow into the courtyards. So it's going to be a very unique space and allow us to do indoor-outdoor activities at will.
All right, that was Caroline and Joanne Sims with Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve talking with us about their capital campaign that is now underway. They are taking donations. They've raised about $3 million so far for this overall project to increase Fernwood's endowment, prepare it for a long-term future. And as part of that, earlier this month, they broke ground on a new education center with two wings. I really like Fernwood Botanical Garden and Nature Preserve. It's a great place to go to walk around, experience nature. And so I appreciate their time talking with us about their ongoing efforts to raise money to improve the grounds. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, that does it for today's edition of Our Take. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll speak with Brian Joseph. He's a former Benton Harbor City Commissioner who is opposed to their proposal for an income tax. It'll be on the ballot next month. We'll learn about that. We'll also learn about some recent milestones that the Scream Park in Niles has reached. And we will find out about what's happening this weekend at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center, or at least what program the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center is offering this weekend in St. Joseph. I'll give you a hint. It's haunted walking tours. We'll learn about that on tomorrow's show. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed on the show, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at wsjm.com. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video News Wire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment. So when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay.
Video News Wire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There is nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire!